Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. Thank you, Brother James. So just so you know, this is the first time that James has ever been to Melbourne. So, yeah. And the last time he actually left the Northern Territory was 2016 when he went to Sydney. So he hadn't actually been on a plane for 8.5 years. So, and yeah, just quickly, so as Tavis and others may have introduced me, my name is Ox. Obviously, that's an interesting name. It was bestowed upon me because I was this big when I was 13, like a man-child. And someone said, you're as big as an ox. And pretty much for the last 35 years, that's what I've been called. So, yeah, so my role at the college was, and I say was because I'm actually not there now, but I was the partnership and fundraising person for a while. And I would visit lots of churches like you guys talk to our mission partners about Noongalinya College. I'm still doing that today because I left not too long ago and we'd already organised this Mission Sunday 8 months ago or something like that, so I'm here. Unlike James, who is from a long way away, I was actually born in Mitcham. So I feel like to some degree I'm coming home, a bit like Jesus today, going home to Nazareth and Galilee. I've actually come home a bit because my grandparents lived in Mitcham, so I used to spend a lot of time out this area when I was a little fella. But yeah, so one of the things that we're, you know, what I'm hoping to do today is talk to you a bit about Noongalinya, because this passage actually relates to Noongalinya College because we celebrated our Jubilee last year, our 50th year. So you can see how the passages talk about that. But the reason we exist and the reason the college started 50-odd years ago was to, you might not be able to read that, but it's to empower and equip Indigenous Christians. That's why the college exists. And part of this passage will, I think, help you to see that. But someone like James, who was a student for a number of years and studied Certificate 2, 3 and 4, because of the training he received, he then was able to become a teacher. And he teaches at the college, as he said, since 2017. And last year, nearly 12 months ago, James was actually ordained as a deacon in the Anglican Church. And at the end of this year, I believe he might be heading home to Yirrpunga. Is that correct, James? Not sure? Next year. Yeah, so next year, James is actually going to be finishing up at the college and heading home to lead the local church. So Noongalinya exists to do that. And as you heard James say earlier, the reason Noongalinya exists is to equip Indigenous Christians to take God's word home to their communities and to be able to share that good news with the people in the community who don't yet know Jesus. Sounds all right, doesn't it? But that's basically what you guys have been as a church, long-time partners of Noongalinya College. That's part of what you enable Noongalinya College to do. So, thank you. But looking at this passage now. Luke 4, so we're, you know, halfway through the chapter of Luke 4. Up until this point, it's basically just been information about Jesus. So up until now, it's the backstory. It's about his parents, it's about his uncle and his auntie, it's about his cousin John the Baptist's birth. It talks about his childhood, his cousin John's ministry, his genealogy, his baptism and being tempted, and then it gets to here. And this really is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It's where it starts. And it says he returns home, goes home, and this is where his ministry really begins. And the end of this passage where it said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, would have to be one of the more audacious statements in the whole Bible. Because Jesus, you know, can you imagine that? He's in his hometown. He says this. You couldn't even imagine what people thought when he said this scripture, but we'll get there a bit later. So, yep, first couple of verses there. He returns home in the power of the Spirit, it tells us. It was the Spirit who was enabling him to have done all these things. And it says he was having an impact because we know he probably started performing miracles and all these things were happening. And as Alison said earlier, Jesus was becoming famous, you know, like everyone was like, oh, who's this person, you know? So when he goes home, they're just like, oh, this is Jesus, Joseph's son, the carpenter boy, you know? So, yep, next verse, 16. He went to Nazareth. Has he been brought up? He was a good boy. So what did he do on the Sabbath? He went to church. You know, he went to the synagogue like we would do most weeks. And that was his custom. He obviously, growing up, he attended the synagogue each week. But this was obviously slightly different because he stood up to read because someone had obviously asked him to share on that day. And a scroll was handed to him. Now, one of the things here, it doesn't actually say that he chose this passage or he chose this scroll of Isaiah. It says it was handed to him. I'd say God might have had something to do with that. And then he unrolls it. And imagine if, I don't know if the scroll was just, you know, a certain few chapters or so in Isaiah. Because if he did unroll it all the way to chapter 61, which is where this is referencing, it would have taken a little while to unroll it, I'd imagine. But anyway. And then what does it say? He finds a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." So as I said, this is actually Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. That's what he read. So last year, Noongalinya celebrated their Jubilee, their 50th year. And many theologians believe this passage in Isaiah 61 is also referencing that earlier passage we read in Leviticus 25. Because there's some similarities in saying about debts are wiped out, freedom comes, there's a celebration. That's what the Jubilee was for. And you heard in that other passage it talks about 7-7. So after 7 years, there were some traditions in the Old Testament law that said you had to return property, you had to let your slaves go free. You know, this sort of stuff happened after 7 years. And then after seven, lots of seven, they celebrated in their 50th year this Jubilee. The next slide, yep. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back, sat down, and the eyes of everyone was on him. That seems a bit strange, but the reason talks about this is that someone would stand up to read from the scriptures, but then they would sit down, and usually they would give the sermon seated. So probably that would be a bit harder here today if we would all sit down in chairs, but in the synagogue, the passage would be read, and then the person who would give the message would sit on a chair in front of everyone and actually preach or give the sermon, the message, seated in front of them. And that's why it says everyone was looking at Jesus, waiting for him. What's he going to say about this passage? He just read these verses. So what he says next, as I said before, it's pretty remarkable that he goes, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Sorry. And that has, as I said, it's audacious. It's probably one of the boldest statements in the whole of the Bible. But can you imagine, these people were the people that had known Jesus since he was little. He had been amongst them. He had grown up in this town of Nazareth. So you can't imagine what they really thought when he's claiming that the scriptures are about him. And in that verse 18, the one passage back, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me." That's what he's saying when it's fulfilled in me. What does that mean? And what he's saying is, I am the person who's going to bring good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, and as Alison said earlier, it's for those bonded in sin. Set the sight for the blind. The oppressed are going to be set free. It's the year of the Lord's favour. And Jesus is claiming that he is the fulfillment of this Isaiah, or the prophet Isaiah's writing, which, as Alison said earlier, was written 600 years prior. He is the year of the Lord's favour. And he's announcing now is the time of salvation. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? I mean, I think for us, we obviously sit this side of the cross, but that makes it easier for us. But I can't imagine they would have just, you think, and we know that actually a few verses later, Jesus is run out of town, basically, because they're like, this is heresy. You know, who are you? Blasphemy. You're claiming to be God. But we're talking, or part of the thing about Jubilee is that part of the theme of the Jubilee is it's about freedom, okay? And so where does freedom come into this? So Paul, in 2 Corinthians, he's writing to the Corinthian church again, and he's telling them, one of the things he says to them is that, you know, the new covenant, which is Jesus and what Jesus had done for us on the cross, replaces the old covenant, okay? And you can see here, Jesus is saying, to some degree, now that I'm here, things are going to change, all right? So in 2 Corinthians 3, it talks about how it was the Torah, the books of Moses. That's what we used to live under, but that's not the case anymore. The veil of the old covenant has been removed, and this new covenant is found in Jesus. And this is what it says in verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And you might see some similarities between that verse and what was in verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay? And true freedom only comes from knowing Jesus and us being transformed by His Spirit. Okay? And so, in 2023, Noongalinya, as I said, we celebrated our 50 years. Now, this painting, we've actually got the original. You can come and see it at morning tea afterwards if you like, or when we share at Tavis's place for lunch later. But this was a painting that the students had been looking at, this theme of Jubilee. So they looked at the passage in Leviticus and Isaiah 61 and Luke 4, and without any direction, the students read this. There was about 10 or 12 students in this class. They painted this painting, and it's telling this story of Jubilee, of freedom. So I'm going to give you a quick... So you can see some stuff there, I'm sure. It might be a bit hard because it's not huge on your screens. But if you look in the centre, the very, very centre, there's the sun. And that's the S-U-N, okay? But it's also representing the sun, the S-O-N. And you might see further out, there's the crown of thorns. And in many Indigenous Christian paintings, they would paint Jesus in the centre because Jesus should be at the centre of our lives, okay? So that's why it's in the centre. But now if you also see that it represents the sun, Jesus is the light of the world. Can you see beams of light radiating out from the centre to the extremities of the picture? Yep. So they painted light comes out of Jesus. The crown of thorns symbolises the humility that Jesus displayed by going to the cross for us. The two streams, it's sort of got two meanings. One, Jesus is the living water, and out of him flows true life. The second part is that in many of our Indigenous cultures, there's this thing called Ganma. I won't go into all of that, but where the salt water and the fresh water meet is a really important place. It's messy, it's beautiful, it's where there's lots of food, you need fresh water to drink, but where the fresh water and salt water meet, there's an abundance of food, plants, animals, shellfish and things like that. So it's a really important place in Indigenous cultures that are on the coast, okay? So they wanted that. So there's like a fresh water, and it's where the fresh water and salt water meet. That's where Jesus sits. And you might also see that people are reaching out to Jesus. People are reaching out to this living water. And as they touch the living water, you might see that each one of them just has a bit of a finger touching this living water. They are set free. You can see the chains breaking. Freedom comes from meeting Jesus. And you might also see there's a lot of butterflies on the painting. not a traditional indigenous animal that you would ever see, but why is that there? Well, we know that butterflies represents transformation. It's a metamorphosis. There is something that should happen in us after we have met Jesus. We should have been transformed and we're a new creation. Pretty cool, isn't it? The students, those 10 or 12 students, they sat down and that's what they decided to write or draw. They tell the story of this Jubilee through this painting. But what are the things? So if people are reaching out and meeting Jesus, what are the things that we have been set free from? Freedom from sin and guilt, okay? Sin, not silt. Sin, guilt, fear and shame. We're free from control. It's not called the good news, is it, or the gospel for nothing. God calls us to freedom from all the rubbish that's in our lives, the separation that we had from him, all the hurts that we have done to others, or maybe people have done to us. He calls us all to forgiveness and freedom. We know that there are so many scriptures in the New Testament that talk about how we were dead in our sins, we were objects of wrath, we were lost, we were slaves to sin, we were under the power of darkness, but in Christ we are free. And though it's true for all of us, for some of us that might actually have a lot deeper meaning. There could be a more ugly experience of those chains that we felt bound by. We may have been hurt through sin and evil, and sometimes it might simply be the circumstances that we grew up in. And it's very sad that in many remote Indigenous communities, that is very real for many people, and they are tough and trying places to live. The cycles of grief and trauma, drug and alcohol, domestic violence, ongoing hopelessness. But you know, Jesus is still there through people like James and the students that are trained at Noongalinya College. They're in their communities and saying, you come follow Jesus with me. Follow me into freedom. And you know, many of our Indigenous brothers and sisters, they can be a lot more open and honest about this. They're happy to say that they were lost. They were broken. They felt bound. And they're very happy to share the impact that Jesus has had in their life. So what are some of the things that people we see as, for our Indigenous brothers and sisters, what do we think they're free to? So they're free from, you know, free from not silt, sin and guilt and shame. You know, they're free from that. But what do we hope that they're free to? Freedom to lead their own people. You know, for many years, people like us, myself, with the best of intentions and have gone out and tried to proclaim the good news of Jesus, but in doing that, we've always said, give up this, give up that, you need to do this. So how much better is it to have people from within their own culture leading their own people? So we're about giving people freedom to self-determine what is best for their communities, which really brings about community transformation. It doesn't come from me going in. Can I do that by sitting alongside the leaders and allowing them? Yes, but not if I come in and just do everything. We give them the opportunity to have freedom in worship in culturally appropriate ways. So again, we don't say, this is how you have to do church, this is how you should sing, this is how you do that. Freedom for them to work out and to seek God's discernment around how they should do that. And we really encourage people to have freedom in sharing their culture, with others. So this quote, many of you might have heard of Reverend Dr. Jininiri Gondera. You may also have heard that a few months ago he passed away. His funeral was at Noongalinya College only probably 6 weeks ago, 4 or 6 weeks ago. He was a very, very key Indigenous leader for many decades. He came to faith in the revival that swept across northeast Arnhem Land in the late 70s, and he was one of the first Indigenous people to become a accredited minister in those days, the Methodist Church, or the early days of the Uniting Church. He was also a teacher at Noongalinya for many, many years. But this is something that he wrote in 1988. We believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is also the God of our forefathers. In him we have survived and maintained our true Aboriginal spirituality through our religious ceremonies and social life. But we are prepared to throw away any wrong interpretation of the Creator Spirit, which the Holy Spirit now reveals to us. We are trying to help our people understand that it was the God of the Bible who was effective in Aboriginal history and dreaming. We believe that some of our Aboriginal ceremonies and rituals are not God-given gifts to the Aboriginal race. It has come about through the fall of mankind, who became disobedient to God's purpose and plans for all creation. You see, I believe much of our culture is great, but so is much of Indigenous culture. You know, Paul, when he's speaking to the Areopagus in Acts, he says to them, you know this unknown God. I'm going to tell you who this God is. And for many Indigenous people, it's like that. When they become Christians, they can see that much of their dreamtime stories and other things, they go, oh, that's God. We just maybe didn't know that those stories are really talking about this creator being who is God. But Gondera knew, as you've just read that quote, that when he was saved, there was actually parts of his culture he also had to leave behind. It wasn't right. It was sinful. It was wrong. But I would also say that's the same for us. There is much in our culture that we need to have wisdom and discernment around. What are we going to partake in and what are we not? Things, yeah. Like what do we place the emphasis of our lives on? Is it how we follow our footy team? Is it how we do we follow career progression, education? What are the things that take the place of God in our lives? There is so much, I think, that we as a Western culture get that wrong. I'm nearly there. This is a short video that actually is a documentary that was created for our Jubilee. And this is a number of our students. Some of them are board members. Others are, been teachers at the college. They're sharing some of their experience of how their lives were transformed when they met Jesus and how they experienced freedom. So let's watch the video. Is it up there? Yep.
Many young people find very difficult times in water. I had so many problems in my heart, and I asked Lord help me. I don't know what I'm doing.
There's not much old people now here in the community. Make it hard without the old people, you know. I used to leave my children drink. Sister grew them up.
My mum and my auntie and my grandmother, they were praying for men in the church. And I used to drink a lot, you know. From all that point where I used to say, I I don't know who God is, you know.
I knew part of me was something missing.
Didn't went to school, naughty boy that time, hunting, and sometime I was stealing, petrol sniffing. The first thing that I was telling myself, I was just nobody. I don't know where I was going.
I was really like lost. I didn't know who Jesus was in life. Bad thing happened to me. That's when I started going back. And he showed me visions that he was there. I did this. I was there. He was saying like that to me.
I was thirsty. I was desperate for Jesus. That's why I went to Nongolinya.
He can change us by giving us the spiritual water that we need deep down. I always draw the living water, you know, and give us that water inside. You want him to come and change.
Yeah, I end up just getting a calling, just hearing something in the back of my head, like someone yelling down a tunnel, just said, follow me.
And I asked, Lord, help me. And God just gave me his strength. His spirit came into my heart and I felt joy.
This corruption in this world and brokenness, you know, in the world. Jesus fixed that. He's the one that can bring us to the right path, healing and forgiveness. We can't do it ourselves.
From dead ash, he can turn those things into beautiful and give us hope.
Important thing for me is to understand Jesus and be with him. He's always calling me just for me to follow that road. I don't want that, I don't want that, I want to go there.
Yeah. I was drinking grog, fighting on the road. My wife was just telling me, leave doing all that thing and come to church. I just think I'd go back with Jesus. I changed my life. Prayer for God is real, you know.
There's a big question of identity going on in the young people. I believe the resolution, the answer is spiritual. They need to know they are loved. They need to know they are valued. They need to know that they belong.
And when that son, Larungu, that prisoner free, well, that prisoner Jiran free probably way.
Jesus is a strong one. Yeah. Sometimes we can do everything on our own. Only through Jesus.
Jesus reached out to those who were on the outer, who were hurt and who were rejected.
I love seeing my picture of myself being hugged by Jesus. I do believe in Christ and I still follow him as my personal savior and friend. Jesus is the one that has made us free from the slavery of sin.
Change who you inside, you know.
And there's no better substitute than the knowledge of Christ and who Christ is, the fulfillment of all hopes, who helps us to be truly human, true to your identity and culture, celebrating difference, complementarity, and enriching each other.
I often say to my people there, you call that Makarata, you know?
You see, Jesus is the Makarata man for me. He took the punishment that we deserve. Jesus is the Makarata man for all people, Australia, you know, Yolngu, Balangira, and whatever nationalities. Yeah, Jesus is number one man.
Jesus, the number one man. It's pretty good, isn't it? You see, as we've looked at, true freedom only comes from knowing Jesus and being transformed by him. He died on the cross and rose again so that we would have that opportunity to come into relationship with him. That's happened to me about 21 years ago. I actually became a Christian through a playgroup at a church. Yeah. So I was a playgroup dad. And it was the ladies there that transformed or helped God. Anyway, won't go there. That'll take another hour. But you've heard from students here today about how Jesus has transformed their lives and has given them true freedom. So the college exists, as I said earlier, to empower and equip Indigenous Christians so that they can take this good news home. And again, I want to say thank you to you guys here at St. Hilary's for being partners in that for many decades. But I also want to say, have you experienced that true freedom? Let me pray.